Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guest for today's show is my inspiring friend, Anna Grace Taylor. Known as the Angel's Voice, Anna Grace Taylor is an angel therapist certified by Doreen Virtue, a Theta healing practitioner, singer, songwriter, motivational writer, and speaker. Join us for a conversation about angels, inspiration, songwriting, singing, living your music, and how you can feel happier by choosing to live your music. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Margot. Lovely to be here.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you here. What a wonderful way to start 2017 on Live Your Music is to have you on, because you are such an inspiration and such a great example of someone who is living their music.
Oh, thank you.
You really are. I mean, because, you know, live your music doesn't mean just singing or playing music or doing anything. It's about living the songs that are in your heart. It's about doing what you feel called to do. And everything that you do is something that you feel called to do. I just, you know, whether it was starting your radio show, Anna and the Angels, or posting your beautiful posters that you post on Facebook, and then, of course, writing your lyrics for your first album, and now your new song that's out. You know, those
are
all...
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's all about... communication for me, and whatever ways I can do that, I absolutely love. So whether that's, you know, as you say, the music or the writing or the, you know, the making the posters or, you know, talking to people, I like it all.
Oh, I know. Communication is one of my top values and priorities in life too. And I think that's part of why I feel so drawn to you as a friend, because you're someone I know who values communication in a lot of the same ways and also to the same degree as I
yes.
do. So, yeah, that's got a lot to do with it. Tell me, and our audience, what are you glad that you did in 2016? I like to start out the new year thinking about what I'm glad I did the previous year, because it starts getting ideas going of what I want to be able to say I was glad I did at the end of this new year instead of doing New Year's resolutions. So what are a couple
right.
of the things that you're really glad you did last year?
Well, definitely one is, you know, creating the song that we're going to play for you later on. And because I've wanted to create more music for a while, and I just really felt like it was important for me to wait for the right time and to make sure, you know, I met the right person to, you know, write the music with and to feel like I was inspired. And that happened this year. So I'm really excited about that. And it kind of really is something that has reignited my passion for it. And hopefully we'll do more in 2017. Jo Beth Young, who is my co-writer, she's an amazing musician and has just recorded a full album herself and is about to release that. So she's a bit hectic and busy and everything with that right now, but hopefully at some point in the new year we'll work together again and create more music. So it's really fun, and it's been such a great process for us both, and, you know, to share something together. I think it's really special when you can do that. So that was definitely one of my highlights.
Now, how did you meet her? I don't know that, even though I know you really pretty well, I don't remember how you met her, how she came into your life.
Actually, it was December last year. In fact, I'd probably seen her online a little bit on Facebook. She has a couple of mutual friends of mine, and a good friend of hers, Sally Claridge Teixeira, was going to be on my radio show that I have, and she was talking to me on Skype before the show, about 2 weeks before, and Jo happened to be staying with her, and so she started to chat to us as well, and it turns out that we live, you know, less than half an hour away from each other, and we didn't realise that. So we met up in just before last Christmas, and then just stayed in touch from then and started to kind of see each other more in the springtime. So, yeah, it was one of those really great things and something that has been a real gift to us, especially, you know, because you know that, you know, a lot of my friends are far away and lots of things are great to hear about far away. But when you have someone on your doorstep who loves the same things that you do, it's extra good. It's extra good because you get to share it live and in person. So, yeah, it's really, really nice.
Oh, that is so true, Anna. And you know, it's so funny because Facebook allows us to meet people that are like-minded and have similar interests all over the world, anywhere all around the world. But it's so funny when every once in a while I'll meet somebody, and I know you do too, as you just did, through Facebook. And then all of a sudden realize that they're our neighbor here in
Marin. Oh, wow.
You know, that happened
just
recently. I was at a holiday party that my writing coach, Leslie Keenan, gave, for example. And this man named John lives right up the hill from us. And I've been seeing his posts on Instagram and Facebook, you know, and Facebook. I had a feeling that he lived kind of somewhere near here because he posts a lot of similar sunrise pictures to the ones that I post on Facebook. But, yeah, I mean, it's just funny.
Oh, that's,
you know,
really wonderful. That's so good. Oh,
yeah.
I love that. I think the thing about the internet is that it kind of makes the world seem like a really big place and a really small place at the same time. Because,
really,
you know,
does.
You can be thousands of miles away, but similarly, you can connect with people that you wouldn't otherwise do, that don't live very far away from you at all. And that has definitely been apparent to me with Joe and also a couple of other people. So, it's amazing. And I do believe that, you know, it's just because we're supposed to meet and these things are happening at the right time, and when we put ourselves out there like we do, you know, sharing messages or doing radio shows or sharing what we love, you know, those people that also enjoy the same things are going to come to us, aren't they?
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's the interesting thing too, is that some people get so hung up on, oh my gosh, I lost a friend on Facebook, or I don't have that many followers on my Facebook page or whatever, you know. And the thing is, I want people that are, like you said, that have things in common with me and that are there because of the fact that they resonate with what I'm posting, not just because there's, like, millions of them, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no. And the thing is that if you start taking things personally on Facebook, especially on a public page, you're never going to get anywhere because, you know, people that you don't know, and particularly especially because there's technical glitches all the time, people are going to leave your Facebook page. You can't be monitoring numbers all the time, otherwise you'd never do anything. And if I told you how many people left my page in a week, you'd be stunned, you know. So even though there are lots of people that join, there are also lots of people that leave, and I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, I remember Gabby Bernstein saying one time that that when somebody posts a negative comment or something, or like somebody leaves your face, your email list or whatever, and you get an email with it, she says that what she does is she just says forgive and delete.
Right. And exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't know the reasons why people do as well. You know, you can't be thinking all the time that it's because of something that you did. And if it is, and they send you a weird email, then that's their problem. But the point is that people receive a ton of emails, a ton of Facebook messages, a ton of posts. You know, they could just be wanting to declutter. And at this time of year, I think a lot of people do that. And I actually really encourage it. I'm often going through the groups that I'm on or the email lists that I'm on and just deciding whether I really want to be on them anymore. And it was actually a tip that I heard for the new year yesterday to do that. And I thought it was a really good idea, because actually, if you're not interested in it anymore, you're not only doing yourself a favor by not receiving the messages, but you're also doing them a favor, because you're really wasting their time if you're not bothered, you know. So I actually think it's a really good clearing exercise to do that.
Oh, I know what you mean. I get way too many emails because I get curious to sign up for the different email lists, and then I feel badly about unsubscribing, because, you know, I know how it feels when someone unsubscribes to one of my e-newsletters. But the thing is that you're right. I mean, it's like we all get way too many emails as it is, and it's just outrageous how many emails I do get.
Yes,
and I
think
you just
for me,
because I spend
so much time online anyway, either because of my actual work or because of posting on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, it's like I'm going to find out about it in those ways most likely, more than an email list sometimes. So for me, it makes sense. Having said that, I still belong to a lot of lists, so I perhaps should walk my talk and declutter my stuff tomorrow or something like that. But yeah, no, I thought that was a really good tip. And actually, you know, the more people that I have reached recently, you know, with social media and things like that, the bigger lesson it's been in just really remembering that what people think of you is none of your business, and you can't worry about that. I had an experience actually in the last couple of days where someone was really jealous of me and just been very kind of, you know, ignoring comments or, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And I, for a minute, I was like, oh, wow, what have I done? And why is this happening? And, you know, but actually it could be for any reason. And it's not for me to try and guess that, because if they really don't want to engage with me, then why would I worry about it? You know, it's not like it's my best friend or, you know, someone that, you know, I have invested a lot of time in. If people really don't want to be engaged with the messages or to engage with me, then that's their choice, you know. So I think it's a really good lesson, because as human beings we are so quick to think that it must be something that we've done, right? And it's not, because that's their choices, you know. It could be that there's a lot going on in their lives, and it could be nothing to do with anything that we may or may not have done. So yeah, it's hard, because we are sensitive people, you know. We want to love everyone, right? And we want to be peaceful and loving and caring and everything. But I've also realized that we can't control any of the other reaction. So, you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, I also feel like the great thing about last year is it was a lot of clearing anyway, right? So we did a lot of clearing, a lot of releasing. It was a 9 year. I don't know if you know that, but in numerologically it was a 9 year. So 2, 1, and 6 made a 9. So a lot of people were releasing. A lot of people, you know, have you noticed there were a lot of people that we knew that, you know, left the planet and decided to, you know, pass at that time. A lot of celebrities, a lot of people that we were in the public, a lot of politics ending and changing, you know, lots and lots of things that kind of cause people to really have to let go. And this year is a 1 year in the 9 year cycle. So it's going to be much more about new beginnings and moving forward and new opportunities, which of course is, you know, means that we have to get out of our comfort zone and do new things. But I would prefer that, I think, than, you know, feeling like I'm stuck in the old. So I think it's going to be an interesting year. And are you excited about it, Margot?
Oh, I am so excited about it. And the thing is that but I feel the same way that you had said on Facebook the other day. Something I could really relate to was about getting outside of your comfort zone more during 2017, and that you knew that was going to be happening. And I know, I feel it's happening with me, and it's going to happen even more. And boy, sometimes I get so scared.
I know. It's really hard. It is really hard. But, you know, I've been very, really scared a few times, even in the last, you know, few days. And I just think, honestly, it motivates me more to make changes that I'm going to feel good about, because, you know, if I'm scared, it must mean that it's important, really, right?
Oh, that's so true. In fact, in my book, and talking about, I think it's in the chapter about living your dreams, but I talked about in there about how, you know how you always hear, feel the fear and do it anyway? Well,
yes.
While I was writing the book, I realized that I wanted, fear and excitement feel a lot alike, and that I wanted
to. Yes, they do.
Yeah, and I wanted to focus on the excitement because, you know, when you focus on the excitement, it helps kind of neutralize the fear. And I realized
yes.
that if it's something that I just feel afraid of, not excited about, then it's definitely something maybe that somebody else wants me to do. You know, like, for example, in the past, Dudley wanted me to go on really steep ski runs or something like that. That's
yeah.
not fun for me. But if it's something that's both scary and exciting, then it's
yes.
something that we're meant to do. And it's
yes.
something that we're going to end
yes.
up enjoying, and it's going to help us grow. So I came up with this new way to say it is feel the excitement, ... and do it anyway. And so many times
right.
my writing coach would have to tell me, to remind me that, Margo, feel the excitement and do it anyway. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. And the thing is, I remember someone saying to me, and I've always tried to remember that actually the body, you know, because my body is really sensitive. So if I'm excited or afraid, usually it goes to my stomach. So I'll get those
mm-hmm.
butterfly feelings and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like everything. And sometimes, I remember someone saying, not always, but sometimes the line between that feeling of excitement and fear is actually kind of blurry.
Mm-hmm.
So the body thinks, uh-oh, there's something to be afraid of. But actually, it could be just because it's like, oh, that's an exciting thing. So sometimes I feel like we should just really be aware that if we do have that kind of nervous feeling, it's
mm-hmm.
because our body is trying to prepare us for something that, you know, yes, is going to push us outside of our comfort zone, but something that is actually going to be a great change for us. And I think it's worth remembering that, because sometimes we kind of go into fear about it before we've actually even given something a chance, you know. So I'm trying to remember that, at least for me. And I feel like, you know, if we can just really have faith, you know, whether that's in a higher power, God, the angels, or even in just in life, you know, in the fact that
mm-hmm.
energy always changes and moves, then we really are going to be helped this year, because you know, we don't get to a certain place in our lives, we don't get to have the experiences that we've had and just be, you know, kind of left like it's a random thing. You know, we've looked back on different moments of our lives, haven't we, and gone, oh wow, I remember I was so scared of that, and actually it's turned out okay, you know, so
mm-hmm.
or even
mm-hmm.
better than okay. So I try and remember that too, that nothing I've done has ever felt that comfortable.
Well, yeah, and you know, when I look back on my life, you're so right about that. When I look back on my life, the things I feel most proud of myself for doing are the times when I was willing to step even just a tiny little step out of my comfort zone and
right.
try something new. And just to
yeah.
be proud of myself for even being willing to try something new, because
yes.
you know, so often people won't even try something new. They won't even go to a Toastmasters meeting or try singing a song live or, you know, whatever it is that their heart desires. You know, there's one
right.
of my friends
Absolutely.
Recently said to me, she goes, Margo, not everyone wants to sing, you know, and I thought, oh, God, what a realization.
Yeah, no, and certainly, no, I mean, I look at my sister and, you know, I think it's really an interesting thing because we're both twins, but we both have very, you know, different likes, and we're similar in some ways, but, you know, we both are kind of wired differently like that, and she's brilliant because she's ever so practical. You know, give her a task and ask her to manage something, and she's just really wonderful, and you can just rely on her so much to get something that I would consider really overwhelming done, like paperwork or, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
anything that's really practical. But, you know, ask her to be on a radio show or be on social media, and she is like, no, thank you. I don't want to do, like, she just does not want to do that. And so she would be terrified of doing something that I'm doing now, which I absolutely love. And I'm
mm-hmm.
scared sometimes of doing something that she has no problem doing. So I think that's a real reminder, because things that scare us, because we don't we don't resonate with each thing, you know. So it's great because that means we all have different fears and different desires, and we all help each other, and so we can come together and say, hey, you know, actually I really love doing that, I'll help you out with that thing. Oh, I don't find that scary, oh, I'll do that thing. Whereas, you know, if we were all kind of afraid of the same thing, we'd never get anywhere, would we? So
and you know, that brings up again to that saying, teamwork makes dreams work. And it's so true. I mean, you know, that's part of the thing is that especially big dreams take a team, because, you know, you need people that have different interests, talents, and also abilities and just what they enjoy doing.
Yes, exactly. If you think about it, you know, we would never have, you know, the different services or the different shops or the different restaurants or the different things to help animals or children, you know, because if we all liked the same things, they wouldn't exist, would they? So, yeah, I love the variety of life. And I was just talking to a friend about that today, saying, you know, that's one of the gifts of being human. As much as we all sometimes go, hey, it's really hard down here, I want to go, you know, go up where there's all just love and divine peace and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the gifts of being here is that we get so much variety and so much choice, don't we?
Oh, I know, and I love variety. I've been realizing that more and more the older I get, that variety is so important to me. And it doesn't have to be huge amounts of variety, but just, you know, some variety so that it's not,
yes,
everything's the same, you know, monotonous, boring.
I think that's also when we're creative people, that's why we love it, because we can do different things. You know, our work and our hobbies and our different things are never just about one thing, are they?
Mm-mm. No, that's true. Yeah, in fact, I remember a friend saying that she wished that she could say, like, her husband's a lawyer, and she says, I wish I could go to a party and people ask me what I do, and I could just go, well, I'm at this, or whatever. And creative people usually have, like, a whole long description of all the different things that they do.
Right, yeah. It's like, well, I do this, and then sometimes I do that, and I used to
mm-hmm.
do this. And he's like, yeah, there's never one thing. And actually, I speak to a lot of people who get really caught up in, you know, a lot of, I have to find that one thing. You know, what's my purpose? What do I
mm-hmm.
do, that one thing that's going to light me up and change my life and change everyone else's life? And I spend a lot of time telling people that it's never about one thing, and especially not if you're creative and sensitive, because we have different joys. And to try and put yourself under pressure to find one thing, I think, is where a lot of people really struggle, because then they feel like what they're doing isn't worthwhile, or that they've made mistakes. Or I don't know if you've ever seen the video, but it actually really reminds me of you, because I know you love hummingbirds and I love hummingbirds.
No, I do. Yeah.
But there's a brilliant talk online by Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and
mm-hmm.
she talks about the hummingbird approach, or I think she calls it the hummingbird approach, because she talks about how some people in life don't have this one burning passion. They have lots of little things or lots of different things that go from one to the other, but actually that is a beautiful thing, and lots of people are really meant to do lots of different things. They're not supposed to stay in one thing. Like, she always knew she wanted to be a writer and that was her driving force, but not everyone has that. And so to try and force someone to just think of their one passion and to try and get them to feel that that is their purpose is actually really terrifying to some people. And so she was talking about how she's really learned that that isn't true anymore. You know?
That's beautiful. In fact, if you could reshare that link,
I will.
I'd love to see it.
Yes.
And also to share it, because yeah, I'm losing my voice all of a sudden. It's a reminder to let you talk most of the time. I just had my first head cold that I've had in, like, probably 2 years, I think, at least. I don't know. I can't even remember when I had the last one. But luckily, I was feeling better by Christmas, but I still have a little bit of that congestion left. And, oh, boy, you know, it reminded me, Anna, that how important health is, number one, and also how much a cold can knock you out, and to have more empathy, for people when they do say they have a cold, you know, because it really
yeah.
amazing how it just bogs
yes.
your brain.
I know. I can totally relate because I had a cold and a cough for like a month in November. So I was really having my own appreciation for my breathing by the time I got to December. So
I know. I got started doing yoga through Xander, our son, got me inspired to try yoga with Adrian online. She has all these wonderful YouTube videos, and I was trying to do the yoga the other day, and I couldn't breathe. And it's so much about breathing, and I was going, oh boy, there's another reason to need to get over this cold so that I can get back to doing the yoga and be able to breathe
it is really hard. And actually, if you think about it, that's also why we can end up feeling not so energized, because, you know, if we can't breathe, we're not going to have so much energy, are we? So,
you know, that's really, really true. And that reminds me of you saying in an interview, I heard you telling this man that was interviewing you about how being outside and getting exercise and more oxygen helps you hear the angels more, I think. Was that what you were saying?
Yes. Because when we open to more oxygen, we're actually open more to spirit. Like the energy of spirit can actually carry on the oxygen molecules. So when we're exercising, when we're walking, when we're outside, it's actually why so many people feel inspired. Yeah.
No, I totally find that true. And it was funny because I was listening to, excuse me, part of that interview on my iPhone while I was out walking. I was actually out walking, doing it, and getting the oxygen and realizing, wow, you know, that is one of the reasons I love going for walks, because I feel so good. I just love being in the moment. I love that it gives me more oxygen, and it gives you a lot of variety because you're, you know, when you're out walking, you're going by different people's homes or different places and different scenery and that sort of thing, you know. So, but it does make me feel so connected. You know, the time is going by incredibly fast, and luckily we have a longer show today. But so I want to remember, though, that we want to listen to this song and talk about it. And I just have to say I really, really love your new song. And I'd like you to tell you, if I can talk, I'd like you to just tell us very, very, very briefly a little bit about the song You Save Me. Just enough to set it up, and then I'm going to play it about 3.5 minutes, and then after that, I'd like to talk to you about it a little bit more, okay?
Well, this is a song I wrote with my dear friend Jo Beth Young, and it was produced by her and also a lovely, lovely guy, Martin Barker, and I hope you enjoy it. This is You Saved Me.
Okay, here we go. You Saved Me, Anna Grace Taylor.
Oh, thank you, Margot. I really appreciate that, and I'm proud of it, and I really enjoy sharing it. And it was just really such a pleasure for me to go back in the studio and to work with these great people, so local to me, and you know, to really be a part of the process. And yeah, I just love it. It's just a really nice way to kind of introduce people to my music again after so long.
Yeah, oh, I know. We finally got back in the recording studio last year and at the end of June and recorded the song I wrote lyrics for, Believe. And then,
oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, and I got to sing. I got to sing on it too. So Dudley and I both sang, and oh my gosh, talk about feel the excitement and do it anyway.
Yeah, I know. Oh. It's definitely, I have to say, because it had been so long, you know, it's been, I think it was like 7 years or nearly 7 years since I did my album, and I really freaked out for a minute. I was like, oh, I can't do it, and it's not good, and I can hear everything that's wrong, and, you know, so they were really patient with me. But it is a very, I feel with the voice, you know, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is that it's not just because, you know, oh, it's a voice and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to hit the right note and all of that stuff. But it's actually when you share your voice, you're really sharing a big part of you, you know, and it's a very vulnerable thing. And I really realized, having done that again, that it really is, you know, putting your heart and soul out there when you sing like that. So yeah, it's an exposing thing, but it is also a very rewarding thing, which is why we both like it. So yeah,
yeah.
No, it's great. And you asked me about the song's message, and it's really about how, you know, we can all be there for each other, and of course our dear friends and our family can, you know, lift us up and help us through really difficult times. But ultimately, you know, we are the only ones who can save us. We are the only ones that can really save ourselves. Nobody else can do that for us. So,
well, that's interesting. So you saved me really means that, like, your inner being saved you. Is that what you mean? Or?
No. This is the thing, is that the song is saying, you saved me, you saved me. But then if you listen right at the end, it's actually saying, you brought me life so I could finally see I am the one who saved me. I'm the one who saved me. So if you don't listen to the whole song, you're going to think I'm talking about, you know, just this person saving me. And what I'm really saying is, yes, they did all of that, but they really taught me that I was the only one who could really save me. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. You know,
Have to listen to right to the end of the song to really get the message, which is why I always know whether people have listened to the end of the song. But yeah, so the message is, yeah, of course, you know, we can all be there for each other. And I am saying, you saved me. But really, you know, the last line is, you know, you brought me life so I could finally see I am the one who saved me. I'm the one who saved me. So really just that kind of recognition that I might feel like somebody did, but that's not the truth.
Oh, wow. I love that. I love the song anyway. But now, the one of the things that's really cool with your album, the CD that you have, the
yes.
Already
yeah.
Here album.
Already Here,
yep. Yeah, you have the lyrics in that. So there's like
yes.
a little insert that people can read the lyrics if they get the actual
yes.
CD, not the download of it. And that's one of the
yes.
things I love about back when we had the vinyl albums. I don't know if you even remember
yeah.
those. But
yeah, no, I did. It's my childhood was all about vinyl, yeah.
Yeah, well, boy, those were the ones that were popular when I was growing up and then even into my 20s and, I don't know, probably into my 30s. Who knows? You know, I don't remember. But what's so cool is Xander got me Christmas, he got me one of those box things that, you know, it can play vinyl, it can play CDs, it can play cassettes, it can even play MP3s. And so now I can listen to the vinyl albums I have. But the point that I was getting at is that what was really cool about the old vinyl albums is that they would have plenty of room to put all the lyrics. And so almost always the lyrics were included with the...
Yeah, well, if you go to my website, annagracetaylor.com, there is and on the front page you can listen to the song again, and it's actually attached to a website called Bandcamp. The website for that is www.annagracetaylor.bandcamp.com, and actually that has all the lyrics on there. You can also buy, you can also download the song from there, or my website. You can also do it on iTunes and Amazon too, but if you want to look at the lyrics, you can see them on Bandcamp or my website. So there is a way for you to do that, and then you can really kind of feel into the song a little bit more.
I think that also for me, seeing the lyrics helps me understand the songs better, but it also makes it so that it's easier to sing with it, because
No, I'm like that too. I love the lyrics. I'm all about the lyrics. So I agree, and I wanted a place for, you know, people to find the lyrics, and obviously on, you know, Amazon and iTunes, you can't really do that. So this is a really great website for you to be able to share all of that. And actually it's really nice, because you can pay whatever you like for the song. So iTunes and Amazon, I think it's a set price, but Bandcamp, you can pay whatever you want. So it's really nice, a really nice way to support artists and to, you know, to find other artists there too. So
I didn't know that. That's awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah, so if somebody may want to pay $100 for my song, that would be good.
Well, you know, somebody last night at the West Coast Songwriters event at Phoenix, when we were there, because Dudley and I are co-managers of the West Coast Songwriters up at Phoenix and San Rafael now, and somebody mentioned that last night, that somebody paid, I can't remember how much, for one of his songs on Bandcamp, and I didn't even know what he was meaning until you just explained it. But
yeah, well, that's good timing. So now you know what I'm talking about then. That's great.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting how one thing leads to another, to another, to another. Before I run out of time, though, I want to ask the questions that I like people to think about during the show. And the first one is, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy?
What do I feel inspired to do? Right now, I feel very inspired to continue to share my message in a deeper way. After being in Romania and speaking to 400 people, I feel very called to do more in-person events so that I can share my story. I can talk about, you know, the things that we can really do to help love ourselves, to help us feel connected to all that matters to us. And, of course, you know, to be able to share the music as well. So that is going to be a big intention of mine, as well as all the online stuff. Don't get me wrong, I love it, but it's really given me the inspiration to get out there in the world.
You know, I've been realizing that more and more too, how important it is to get out and to actually be with people. And that's one of the things the West Coast Songwriters organization has helped with for us, because it gets us out once a month to get together with other songwriters. And it's all about collaboration as well. And so it's, you know, that's one of my affirmation I've been writing over and over again for quite a while now, is I enjoy working in creative collaboration with loving and kind beings who are committed to healing the world with love, music, and joy. And, you know, at first I was saying like-minded people, and then I got it to loving and kind people. And then I realized, Anna, that, you know, with the angels and even animals and everything, I want it to be loving and kind beings. You know?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I really feel like we're being given a lot of opportunities to be able to do that. So online is fabulous, because we can reach people that we wouldn't otherwise reach, like I'm talking to you right now. And then also, not only can we reach people in person locally, but because of our online presence, we can travel. And that's what I really love to do. And obviously I have, because you've met me, because, you know, I came to California, and I've been to Romania, and I went to different places in England. And so I'm feeling very, very guided to do that, and I really feel very strongly that it's going to be a year, as I said, to push myself outside my comfort zone, but that actually I have a feeling, and I don't always say this, but I really have a feeling that this year is going to be a year like no other for me, in a really good way. So I'm determined to make the most of it, and I just feel like I need to be big and bold. So my heart and my soul as being really big and bold with my music right now in all ways. So I will let you know.
I love that. I love that. I think that, you know, I feel like that's really a message that we all need to hear, like you were saying, to step, whatever our comfort zone is, to step out of our comfort zone. You know, it's different for everybody, like you were saying. For your sister,
yes.
The idea of getting on a radio show would be way out of her comfort zone. But,
right.
You know, that's one of the things I want the people listening to do, to think about what gives them joy, and then also to be willing to let go of the limiting beliefs so that they can live the songs that are in their heart, you know, live that
yes.
music, what they feel called to do, whether, and, you know, it can even be being a mom. That was one of the
right,
things
absolutely.
I felt called to do.
Absolutely,
you know, and
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
It's true,
a,
and actually,
something.
That's one of my things that my heart is calling me, but obviously I have to get a few things done first, and I have to meet the right person who's going to be the father of my child, but definitely, you know, that is definitely a part of what calls me. So, you know, all in its perfect timing, and I really feel
yeah.
like, you know, more than ever last year, we were really given the message that life is precious, that we need
it
to
is.
Make the most of it while we're here, and, you know, yes, we can be afraid, but, you know, at the end of our lives, we're only going to remember the things that we did with love and the things that we really loved. So, you know, it's really important for us to remember that when we're freaking out sometimes.
I agree. Yeah, you're at the age right now, I was thinking about this morning, when I was your age, Xander was about 3 months old, and
oh.
I had wanted so much to have be a mom and have him, and we were married for like over 7 years before he came, and he's the only time
mm-hmm.
I was able to have one. And, you know, it's just being a mom is definitely, of all the things I felt called to do, including singing, writing my book, whatever, doing the show, being his mom has definitely been the most important.
Well, you know, if being an auntie is anything to go by, I can totally imagine, because even being an auntie has been one of the best things that's ever happened to me. So I'm really excited to share my life, and I've just found out I'm going to be an auntie again. So really
oh.
super excited about that. I know.
Oh, I'm excited too.
So it's really, really great.
Well, we only have a minute left, but I am going to picture you with your baby. You know.
oh, thank you. Well, I'm just really grateful that you have me on, and I'm really grateful that I got the opportunity to share my song. And as I said, if anyone is interested in finding out more about my work or downloading my song, you can go to annagracetaylor.com.
Yeah. Oh, Anna, thank you again for being on my show. If anyone wants to sign up for my newsletters, they can go to margojoydenator.com, and I just appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate everyone listening. I appreciate this new year that we have as a whole new time to do what we love and live our music.
Oh, yes, exactly. Thank you so much, Margot.
You're welcome. Thanks again for being on the show, and thank you for all the positive posts that you share. Have a great
You're very
week.
Welcome.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.